Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Sexy?
Hey, yo! TFA fam, what is going on? It is the TFA Dino Show. No, this is not Robbie Jeffries. It is one Sir Cody Kutzer filling in for him. The other half of the TFA Dino Show is here, though. My guy, Tom Corson. Good to be back on the mic with you here, buddy.
Yeah, man, you too. I've missed you. I also missed the heyo a little bit because Robbie's kind of switched over to a more modern man approach of like the hey, like, you know, Fat Albert kind of thing, whatever. It's great. I love it. You know, he's great, but he's not doing the heyo anymore.
I thought I noticed that too. I had to bring it back. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why he's getting away from it.
It's more polished what he's doing now. I'll say that. He doesn't sound like he's organizing a pep rally for a college when he says what he says now,
which he is quite literally doing as we speak.
He is. How about that? Weird fact.
Well, speaking of, before we jump into it, let's go across the sport. Let's leave football for a second. March Madness obviously happening right now. And the three of us here with the TFA Dino Show are well represented. Right. For those who don't know, I recently relocated to North Carolina. So I got Duke UNC, which that's bonkers to me. That's the first time that game has actually happened. Matchup is actually happening in the tournament. And then obviously Nova for you and then the Jayhawks for Robbie.
Yeah, man. Pretty cool.
Peters.
No, I'm a little upset though because, you know, Nova had probably their second best player, Justin Moore, tear an Achilles in the last minute of the game. So that's rough. I'll be interested to see how they can overcome that. But Kansas is fucking trash, so I mean, should be fine.
Rock chalk. What does that even mean? Can anyone what rock chalk? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Anyone know?
I don't know. I think Robbie should be able to explain it, but he's never been able to explain it. Whenever you say, what does rock chalk mean? He's just like, rock chalk. What does rock chalk mean, though?
Like they're
rock chalk. The more you say it, it doesn't mean it.
He just gets louder in voice.
Listen, you say it enough, you understand it. It becomes part of you. Rock chalk.
Maybe that's it. Man, it's been a good tournament so far, though, man. It's been a lot of good games.
It has been. I've hit a couple of nice parlays, so it's been good.
Who do you think ends up being the winner? Who's going to be cutting down the I guess not proverbial, because they literally do cut down the net. Who's going to be cutting down the net at the end of March Madness?
I will never say Duke, because I hate Duke with a passion. I feel like Duke fans are like Cowboys fans. I know we're probably losing viewers. I just hate them. But my age group, you know, if you didn't have a team, it was cool to just, you know, oh, I'm a Duke fan. And then the Duke fans were the Dallas fans. And then they had, you know, the same D on their hat and everything. And it's just like, I want to slap the shit out of you. So not Duke. Honestly, I think the winner of the Nova Kansas game is going to wind up taking it. So I'm rooting for Nova, obviously. So we're going to. I'm going to say Nova, and then Kansas, and then North Carolina, and then fuck off Duke. So that means everybody should probably put their money on Duke. I hate him. Don't do it.
Ever since I was never like anti Duke, but ever since Grayson Allen happened to Duke, that's just. Did you see him get the he got a flagrant one against him a couple games ago? Someone basically just clotheslined him.
No.
And at first I saw the clip and I was like, oh my god, what a dirty play. Who is this?
Yeah.
And then I saw it happen to Grayson Allen. I was like, all right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I've been a Nova fan going back to like Kerry Kittles. I don't know if you remember Kerry Kittles, probably not.
Mm-mm.
He was one of the first dudes like to wear like the high white socks. So he had like the high white socks and you know the white sneakers and everything. It was, you know, it's Kerry Kittles, man. Played for the Nets for a while. Good player in college.
I haven't had a basketball team. Like from being from Pittsburgh, going to Penn State, so like Pitt was never in the conversation for me whenever they actually were a solid team there for a couple of years. Penn State has never had a good basketball program. So like I don't have a team. I guess now that I'm down here in North Carolina, I could pick one.
Yeah, sure.
That wouldn't be bandwagony, right? Since I live here now.
Yeah, if you don't have one,
like,
and then
App State.
Yeah, if you don't have a team and you move somewhere, it's okay, because I feel like if you're in the television range there where you're going to be able to watch other games, it's acceptable. Just don't be a Duke fan.
So that I can promise you. All right, well let's get into the show here, man. We had obviously a wild off season, so we're just going to go through position by position, just talk about some of these guys who value has changed, kind of see what the market is for them, buying, selling, holding, that sort of thing. So let's kick it off with quarterbacks. We'll just run through a list here, then we can kind of just jump into, and we can start wherever you'd like. But obviously we had Deshaun Watson landing recently with the Browns. Russ Wilson got traded to the Broncos. We had Jameis Winston and back up in New Orleans. Wentz traded back to the NFC East to land with the Commanders. Marcus Mariota landing in Atlanta with his former coach Arthur Smith. And then obviously that meant Matt Ryan was out, and now he is in Indy taking over from Carson Wentz. And obviously Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady staying with their respective teams. So dynasty-wise, man, who jumps out to you? Any guys you're buying, selling? What are the thoughts you have here on the movement at the quarterback position?
Well, craziest year we've ever seen, ever. So that's pretty nuts.
Legit.
My first thought was, and it was before, it was like, whatever, nothing really happened. And then the Raiders went out and traded for Devontae Adams. And Derek Carr, all of a sudden, who's just kind of been like, you know, low QB1 some years, starts off hot sometimes. But for the most part, he's like dynasty 15 to 20. He's in that group with like Cousins, Matt Ryan, Tannehill historically. Because of age, some people knocked Brady down there. He's got some weapons, man, and he's got a coach. First getting Josh McDaniels, that's going to be a really good thing for him compared to what he's had. McDaniels knows how to build an offense around its strengths as opposed to just trying to run a system. You get Adams, you get Renfro, you get Waller, Josh Jacobs. That's a lot of weapons as long as they stay healthy. By far the best of his career. So if you had Kirk Cousins in that tier I was talking about before, you're probably moving him up to the top or to the next tier, obviously. And you're probably thrilled because he was your QB2, QB3, right? If you had him as a QB1, then Godspeed. If you didn't have Derek Carr before then, now you're going to have to pay like high QB2 cost to get him. Might be worth the price though, because I think he's going to have a lot of QB10 upside from week to week. That being said, everybody has a price, so he's an intriguing sell because of that. So if you can flip him for another guy that we could talk about, Tua here, I would smash it. I doubt you're going to be able to flip him for that. You're going to have to add some stuff to Derek Carr. But Stafford isn't out of the realm because of the age, and some people might really like the weapons. So No, there's a lot more you can do with Derek Carr now than you could 2 weeks ago.
So with Tua and Derek Carr to an extent, I guess the reason why I'm like semi-hesitant, even though like all the points you made were obviously extremely valid, is just their security going forward, right? Derek Carr, unrestricted free agent next year. Tua, obviously, it seems like his entire career has been in limbo. And then the Dolphins also have two firsts next year. So I guess if you're making a move for Tua, it could make sense if you're a contender. But I guess how much are you bumping Tua up with the addition of Tyreek Hill in that passing game?
I think I had him at 15, in the 15 range. He's probably on that fringe, like QB 12 range now for me with the addition of Tyreek, just because of the weapons that they've surrounded. It's just been fantastic. And I've always been a little bit higher on Tua than a lot of people coming out with Miami. And then you get Mike McDaniels goes there. Excuse me. So I really like what he's doing. It's just the weapons that they have around him. If he fails, I mean, he's never going to get another starting job in the league. So they're setting him up for that. I'm an Eagles fan. I saw what happened when they put weapons around Carson Wentz. It actually worked and the offense worked. So that's what they're doing there. So I'm excited for it. Tua doesn't have to throw the ball 50 yards down the field. You can do a lot of things. If you look at the San Francisco offense, it's not necessarily all downfield. There's a lot of screens, quick hits. And when you have the type of athletes that they have, you just have to account for everything, especially like with the jet sweeps, and they're going to incorporate shuffle passes. So he'll probably get a couple bullshit touchdowns that should be rushing touchdowns. But another year in the system, another year off the hip injury. I'm sure he's going to be working with McDaniels as far as like how to actually throw the goddamn ball, because McDaniels was a QB coach before. So I'm just excited for that with him more than anything else.
I'm glad you brought up the deep ball thing, because that's something like everybody piled on when that Tyreek Hill trade came through. And like, does he have the Josh Allen arm? No. But like, I think he's respectable. I think the hate went a little bit too far with him. So sure, he's not going to be hitting Waddle and Hill 50 yards downfield, but can he hit them 20 yards downfield, 25 yards downfield? Absolutely. So I'm with you. I'm excited to see what happens with Tua in this offense. And like you said, they're kind of setting it up for him to be an excuse-free year. So if it doesn't work this year, he's really not going to have any excuses. And like I said, next year the Dolphins have two firsts, so they're probably going to move on from him rather quickly.
Right, and they also shored up the offensive line there too. I mean, they went out and signed Armstead. So their line's going to be better. He's going to have more time. He really has no goddamn excuse.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. As far as sells, we kind of talked about this for literally 3 seconds before we jumped on. Mm-hmm. But any sells for you out of this group, or even some of the guys we were touching on that didn't necessarily have any, they didn't change places, but they had some change of scenery around them.
Yeah, usually my sells are higher profile names because they're going to give me a bigger return. So mine would definitely be Deshaun Watson. His legal issues are solved from,
spicy.
He's not going to jail, maybe a little bit. He's not going to jail, but he's still probably going to serve a suspension. He's going to a team with Amari Cooper, who's never had, has he never had a wide receiver 12 season? I think I saw that before. Never finished as a wide receiver 12 or better. I feel like I saw that today. I can't believe it, but I feel like I saw it. So we gotta look at it. But he's got Cooper, he's got Nick Chubb, and Kareem Hunt. Then they have Donovan Peoples-Jones, Shakeem Grant. They tagged Njoku for whatever the hell reason they did. They have Harrison Bryant. You want to tell me this team is all of a sudden going to throw 40 times a game, by the way? Like Watson had to do in Houston when they were losing all the time. They have a good defense, so it's a better team. It's not all of a sudden the team's not going to go out there and be running the goddamn oop-de-oop like it's cool in Cleveland. One, two, three, four, five wide receivers? What? Yeah, you like that. I mean, throw in the fact that they don't have a first-round pick for the next 2 years, and it's going to be tough to reload at that wide receiver position.
Yeah,
unless they draft really well late. I just don't know how we can treat him as a top eight quarterback for the next 2 years, especially this year. He's not going to finish as a in points per game, whatever. You can use that metric instead as a top eight, I don't think, which is what some people are doing because of the name value. I mean, the value there is too juicy for me not to try and sell him if you have him, especially if you acquired him like dirt cheap. Now would be the time to flip him because yeah. of how much you're going to wind up getting back for it. So, yeah, that's Deshaun Watson. Get out. Get out of my kitchen.
Yeah, that was a name I didn't necessarily have out there as a sell, but like as a put up on the trade block, you know, in your group chat for your league, kind of float his name out there to see what kind of response you get. Because like you said, everyone is basically just throwing him back in their top three, top five in terms of dynasty rankings, right? And probably rightfully so, probably where he, you know, more or less belongs. But if you can sell him at, you know, QB5 value and either, you know, drop down a tier or within the same tier and potentially pick up, you know, a couple assets on top of that, that is definitely worth, you know, looking to see if you can do that sort of thing in your league. And I think you can do the same thing with Russ Wilson, right? I don't think he necessarily got a bump in value by switching teams. I think the weapons are, you know, pretty similar in terms of value, right? Obviously, going from DK and Lockett to Judy and Cortland Sutton, like that's pretty damn nice, especially as far as quarterbacks are concerned. You typically don't see that kind of movement and then basically just kind of sidestepping along with it. 33 years old, you know what I mean? I think he's getting some hype now that he's out from underneath the old wrinkly ball sack of Pete Carroll. But in the 3 years that Hackett was the OC of Green Bay, the Packers were right at league average in terms of pass-to-run ratio, or actually underneath. I think the second year that Hackett was there, they were actually below average in pass-to-run ratio. So I don't know that we're going to see all of a sudden, you know, Russ cooking, which led to a fire in Denver Stadium, by the way. I don't think we're all of a sudden going to see him chucking it around the yard. So, again, I think if you can maybe trade him and then bump up, you know, bump up a tier, that's something I might look to do. And obviously, a lot of this depends on if you're playing in Superflex, if you're a contender, if you're, you know, rebuilding, that sort of thing. But that's kind of where I'm sitting with these guys in terms of sells.
Yeah, he definitely didn't get a downgrade when he moved. I would say lateral, which if you're a quarterback and you go from a team that has, you know, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and you get a lateral movement as far as like wide receiver, then you're doing pretty good. It's an upgrade for those guys more than anything else, not necessarily for Russ. Where it's better for Russ is now you have a different offensive coach who might give him the opportunity to, you know, throw the ball 55 to 60% of the time, where he's been closer to the, you know, lower 50%. So he's going to get those extra attempts, hopefully, in Denver. And then when you look at the AFC West, we're going to see some shootouts, man. We really are. Javonte can catch the ball, obviously, so that's a good one. I saw Hackett said basically we're going to let Russ do, you know, what he's good at. And you're like, okay, well, that's nice. What's he not good at? Like, he's good at handing the ball off, too. I don't – I love coach speak. I love this time of year when you see all that stuff. But, I like Russ a lot. He didn't get a knock at all. Didn't get a bump. It's just a different spot for him. So where you get the possible bump is him essentially being reinvigorated as a player and, you know, maybe puts in more work with everybody just because it's a new place, new coach, he's excited. But that's all like stuff you can't measure.
One last thing that I have, and I don't know if you want to plug your ears for this or not, Tom, but I kind of think Carson Wentz is a buy in super flex leagues.
If you put grated Parmesan cheese on top of a turd, it's still, it's got Parmesan cheese on it.
I'm more of a peanut butter guy on top of a turd than the Parmesan cheese, but I'm just saying I think the overall like thoughts and opinions on Carson Wentz is that he's just like absolute, you know, dog shit. He sucks. He's the worst. And there is the Week 18 game to look at and say, look, here's my proof. But I think specifically for super flex leagues, like if you're looking for a cheap QB2, I think he's completely fine as your QB2. Now the ceiling, you know, definitely isn't there. Right, but that's not what I'm getting at. I think, like I said, with a cheap QB2, if you're not wanting to pay up and have, you know, two top 10, two top 12 quarterbacks in Superflex, I think Wentz could be a sneaky buy. I mean, he put up mid QB2 numbers last year, and that was despite Indy being a bottom 5 team in pass run ratio. In 10 of his games last year, he had at least 17 fantasy points in those 10 games. I think he had a couple 20-point games as well. Again, not a massive ceiling. He's not going to be the reason why you win weeks, but I think in Superflex, if he's your QB2, QB3 potentially, and you can get him on the cheap, I'm interested.
It's not bad for Terry McLaurin. It's not bad for Antonio Gibson. I still don't really like it a lot for Carson Wentz. Their line's not great, obviously.
They do lose Scherf as well, which doesn't help.
And when he doesn't have time to throw, he panics. And that's my biggest concern with him is he just doesn't know what he's doing when he doesn't have blocking in front of him. So we saw, you know, when he had good blocking this year, he played well. And when that broke down a little bit, he was just, he's a fucking hot mess. And I know you can say that about a lot of quarterbacks, but watching Carson Wentz deal with, you know, pressure, it's been bad. It's been bad to say the least. I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can here. But
if I don't think he's a league winner by any means, but like I said, it's like a, you know, mid QB2. Like, I don't think he's necessarily going to, like, be someone who you're going to, like, flip next year. But I think if you're a contender and you need a cheap QB2, potentially QB3.
Yeah. So if you had to pick, who would you take for this season, Trubisky or Carson Wentz?
Wentz. Just because I can't do it. I can't.
Give me Trubisky. I love it. It's basically the word. Yeah. We're I love it. I love it. Hate. It's called hate ball.
where do you? I guess we'll mention him before we jump to over to running back since you just brought him up. But with Trubisky, like what are your expectations for him? Obviously, you know, TFA's president CEO Kev Steele had been pounding the table for Trubisky to land in Pittsburgh. Before that was even a rumor. That was like at the end of the year when Kev was saying that.
That was more of a like a fuck you, Cody. Oh, I can't wait to see it just so I can make fun of
you. He secretly loves Trubisky. That's what that was.
Oh, he does, but his love for him coupled with just watching you squirm because he would talk about Trubisky so much. The first week, I can already tell what the first show is going to be. Trubisky's going to be a top 10 quarterback this week. Guaranteed. They could be playing the Chargers or the Bills or whatever. Trubisky's going to be a top 10 quarterback this week. It doesn't even matter. It's going to be fantastic. So he's just a mess.
Where do you – I don't know if you have rankings done. I guess you would have dynasty rankings. So, but for redraft, what's your like general range – for Trubisky this year?
All right, guys, I'd take him above. How about we do that? Davis Mills, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Wentz. He's on the fringe of Jameis Winston.
Matt Ryan.
So he's right outside Jameis Winston and Matt Ryan. So probably like QB 25, 24, right in that range.
You really do hate Carson Wentz, don't you?
No, I just I look at how he plays football, and I know he's not good anymore. It has nothing to do with hating him personally. Godspeed.
All right, before this turns into absolute hate fest, let's go over to running back. Really didn't have a lot of movement there. I don't have a ton to talk about, but Fournette going back to Tampa, James Conner going back to Arizona, Rashad Penny going back to Seattle, Chase Edmonds landing in Miami, and then Ronald Jones ending up with KC just a day ago, 2 days ago at the time we're recording this. So with these guys, or again, guys who have had some changes around them, but maybe they stay with the same team, what stands out to you at running back in terms of any kind of value changes and where you see the market for Dynasty?
So most intriguing for me is James Conner and Fournette, because they gained value without switching places because they lost their backup running back, so to speak. Ronald Jones, who was, you know, a non-factor and basically inactive, and Chase Edmonds, who was hurt for a lot of the season and then didn't really factor in a lot towards the end of the season. as far as that with James Conner, no idea how long he's going to be able to produce. You know, he was the RB5 last year, but at the same time, he's got a ton of upside. And when you look at the state of like the older running back values that are like decreasing by the second, he doesn't cost a ton to acquire at all. So you can get some really good value out of him, give you some, you know, RB1 upside, and he's not going to cost a ton. Fournette, on the other hand, is probably going to cost, you know, quite a bit more to acquire. Just because we saw what he did last year, he's got better name recognition, and he's much more likely to be able to sustain that over the long haul.
It's funny you mention that, because those are both guys that I want to sell because of everything
right.
you were just talking about. Like, I could see with, you know, Fournette being, you know, if you're a contender, again, you obviously want to keep him, right? But let's say Brady truly retires this time, right? Let's say he retires. Now you're looking at Fournette being 28 years old on an offense that the outcomes are more likely that offense is going to be worse once Brady leaves, rather than it being like, you know, equal or, you know, in the same kind of ballpark. And then with James Conner, this dude just can't stay healthy. I'm not going to say that he's injury prone, but he has not played a full 16 game or 17 game regular season, however you want to slice it, in his entire career. And now if they're not going to have somebody to take the touches off of him like a Chase Edmonds, I just don't see that working out very well for him. So I think if you can sell, you know, obviously if you are not a contender, I'm trying to get rid of Fournette 100%. And then I think James Conner could be someone who's like one of those like sneaky, like, I'm going to mess up your team. Like, even if I'm a contender, I might be like, hey, if you guys want to come get James Conner, I'll even give you two at a fair price just to like mess up someone else's team. And like, I really don't want to, I'm not looking to buy any of these running backs, to be completely honest. Like, Ronald Jones, sell him. I wish Robbie were here for this conversation, but sell him. if he's landing with KC, here, he wouldn't have hit my trade bait fast enough if I had him in any league as soon as that signing came across the wire.
If you can get any pick of substance for him this year, please do. Like, Rojo is a trap. Like, he's what Admiral Akbar in fucking Star Wars was actually looking at. I mean, yippee! He went to Kansas City. Like, the only way he does anything in any game ever in the history of the world is if he gets close to 20 touches. It's not going to happen in KC. I mean, you can trade him now before the draft if you think they might take a running back early-ish, or wait until the summer hits and like you go like full hype mode, and you're going to be able to get like a 2023 like for late, like projected late first or some shit because it's a Kansas City running back. It's just these Rojo, like the hive. Oh, I love it. I love it.
There obviously couldn't have been a better landing spot in terms of flipping him for value, right? Like, no. Like this is it. Yeah. This is the nut spot. So if you can get Al from underneath, what would be like the lowest pick? Let's put a pick on it. What's the lowest pick that you would take for Rojo?
I'd take a mid-second, like. But here's the problem. I would definitely take a mid-second because he's not worth a mid-second. That being said, if you wait, you're going to be able to get more because people are going to be like, oh, Rojo. Did you see the tape where he was training with the guys and he was all fast and stuff like that? He looked good and he was in shape and everything. Like, just wait a little bit until, like, hype season hits and, like, that right in that dead period where there's nothing going on. Rojo's going to send a picture and he's not going to have a shirt on.
Or it's going to be like one of those things that's just completely empty where it's like, hey, Patrick Mahomes texted Rojo.
Right.
And he said, you're a baller. Right. That, like, that could literally be the piece that would just send Dynasty Twitter into a frenzy.
Which is why it's like he's, for me, he's a sell, but he's a hold. Because like the Dynasty you're Twitter, waiting. Like the world is just like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I think I'm going to wait. The problem is they're going to go out there and they're going to wind up taking like Isaiah Spiller or some shit like that in the first round because they have two picks and they're like, well, whatever, we're just going to keep taking running backs until we hit. Just for Kevin, like, wishing Trubisky on you and it happening, I need the Chiefs to take Isaiah Spiller over Breece Hall and every other wide receiver available in the first round this year to see Kev's head explode. I need it to happen.
And then they double up and reach on like a speedster running back in like the fourth.
Ah, yeah, it's gonna be great. We got David Bell though, man. He's gonna replace Tyreek.
Hey, listen, that's where I gotta draw the line. All right, as much as I would like to see Kevin fully implode, there will be no David Bell slander. I will not allow it.
I was saying that he's
not
gonna
yet,
replace Tyreek.
Not yet, anyway.
All right.
So the one guy I want to throw out here that did not have the change of scenery, is but I think is someone I would be knocking on the door of and kicking the tires of the owner in your league is Joe Mixon. Just with what the Bengals did to their offensive line with the names they added, obviously with getting Kappa, they got Collins, and they also added the interior lineman Ted Karras as well. So I think that is something sneaky. The only thing is you just have to hope that the Joe Mixon guy in your league doesn't already own Joe Mixon, right? I feel like every league has one. And as long as your league, the guy who is the Joe Mixon guy does not have him, because if it is the Joe Mixon guy, you're not getting him, right? Like they're not going to sell him to you for anything reasonable anyway. But That is definitely a name where I would be kind of like kicking the tires and seeing, you know, what the price might be, because that's just another one of those running backs that everyone loves to hate for whatever reason. And we saw him outside of just the dumbest situations when they would take him off the field, especially on third down, and put Samaje Perine in there. He got the workload that we always wanted him to get. You know what I mean? Like some of the pass catching, not necessarily all there, but outside of that, and if that defense is going to be a little bit better and that offensive line is going to be better too, I can't imagine they want Joe Burrow dropping back as many times as he has the past couple of years, especially with the injury that he had. So that is a name that I would be seeing what the going rate might be in your leagues. And I really haven't seen a lot of talk or a lot of hype with Mixon on the Twitter timeline, which – not that that's the end-all, be-all, but that drives a lot of value in a lot of leagues, for better or for worse, right? So he might be someone who you can kind of sneak in there and maybe be able to add him to your roster, you know, maybe for not the top eight kind of running back price that it should cost to acquire him.
Well, I mean, Joe Mixon is, how old is he, 25 now? So he's dead.
He's going to be 26 soon?
Yeah. So Joe Mixon, he's dead. He's dead, according to Dynasty Twitter. Like, he's dead. Dalvin's dead. Kamara. They're all dead, which is fun. I am a Joe Mixon guy. I have traded him one time. Ever. And I felt, ooh, but I had to do it. And it was last year. And I traded him for Zadevi League. And I got Javonte, which looks pretty good straight up now as far as dynasty value. And I got the Devi pick and I used on Tank Bigsby. So I feel pretty good about that move right now.
Okay.
That's
okay.
A humble brag.
Just had to slide that in there. Anyone else at the running back position you want to talk about, or should we go to wide receivers? It's going to be the next 3 hours of the show.
Yeah, let's go to wide receiver.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so I'm not going to run through the list here because obviously we have two massive names, two massive trades that I just want to start this off with and jump right into with the wide receivers. Obviously, that's Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. Both of these guys, their values dropped, right? The question is, yeah, how much did they drop? Because they both went to worse situations. You know, you were talking about Derek Carr maybe being a sneaky buy right now, but that's still a drop-off, obviously, from Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense. And then Tyreek Hill, I hope this isn't a hot take. He dropped much further than Davante Adams did for me. So how much did those two wide receivers drop for you once those trades came through?
Well, as you know, Tyreek is my boy. I was sad to see him go from, it still hurts, but I don't really know. I had him before as my wide receiver 4, and right now he's in like that 5 to 8 range, I believe. In redraft, he's going to drop further in dynasty because he's still going to give you, I think he's going to wind up being a, you know, mid to low end wide receiver 1. He just doesn't have that wide receiver 1 overall upside anymore. That's the tough part. And Adams, he dominated because he got, what, 13 targets a game. You know what I mean? And they didn't have anything else there. When you have Waller and Renfro, he's not necessarily going to be the security blanket. So I had Hill ahead of Adams before. I still have him slightly ahead of him, but man, it's such a hit. It really is such a hit, but it's more because it takes them out of that wide receiver 1 for 2022 overall range that knocks them down so much. They're still going to probably wind up being wide receiver 1s, you know, barring injury, because they're that good. It's just the idea of, you know, them being able to overtake Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase or Cooper Kupp next year, one of those guys, something like that. So that's the tough part for me.
So because there hasn't been literally like one positive thing written or spoken about either of these receivers with these moves, are you trying to buy either one? And if so, who?
I would. Fuck. Man, probably
you're allowed
not.
To say no.
Probably not. Like, I really want. Okay. So I have two teams where I own both of them on the same team.
Yikes.
So that hurt. Like I have that team also has Kyle Pitts, who went from Matt Ryan to it's just rough, man. Like I still, the one team, it's a home league, and I still have Justin Jefferson, and that's like a dominant league. But so instead of scoring like 2,700 points, I might only score like 2,450 or 2,500. So it's not a big deal, but it's like, what the fuck, man? It's rough. I really don't think I'm going to buy either one of them. Like I don't, in redraft, I'm not going to have a problem drafting either one of them for where they're going to wind up going, probably.
Right.
Because that everybody's going to be so down on them, they're going to wind up being values in redraft when it comes around, I think. But as far as dynasty, I don't know. Like I don't know what I would take. I don't know what I would want. I looked up the other day because somebody really likes Devontae Adams and he has Ja'Marr Chase, and I have the 106, and I said, if I offer Devontae Adams and the 106 for Ja'Marr Chase, how far off is that? And that's like almost another first round pick off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And 3 weeks ago, that was not the case.
No.
Not even close. Now, I'm still like 106 and Devontae Adams for Ja'Marr Chase. Probably not doing if I'm the Ja'Marr Chase owner. Not in this class. But at the same time, the value you can say is like, well, it's not like a horrible offer. If you offered that to me today, I'd be like, fuck off. What are you doing? Like, that's the difference. That's the big difference to me. The same thing with Tyreek. You can put Tyreek in there. Tyreek in the 106 for Ja'Marr Chase, you're probably saying, fuck off.
Yeah. Right? Not even close.
And to think about that, if you would have said that a month ago.
Yeah.
Like that, so that's the big difference of the trades. It's like, okay. And then when you put like the trades on paper and then you look at it, you're like, God damn, man. Like you want to cry yourself to sleep.
So we had a lot of other movement as well. Speaking of Tyreek Hill, we had Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdez-Scantling end up with the Chiefs. Godwin went back to Tampa. We had Amari Cooper, who you already touched on. Allen Robinson, baby, going to the Rams. Robert Woods being traded to the Titans after A-Rob was signed. Gallup got his money with Dallas. James Washington ended up there as well. Mike Williams with the Chargers. DJ Chark to the Lions. Then we had Christian Kirk and Zay Jones to the Jags. Russell Gage, which is pretty sneaky, I think, going to Tampa, obviously with Tom coming back. And then Alan Lazard basically being the only thing left in Green Bay. He got that second round tender. So out of this group, anyone really stand out to you in terms of, you know, buy, sell, stash, that sort of thing?
Christian Kirk, man. I know a lot of people are buying up Christian Kirk like the Jags, but, you know, he was going as the wide receiver 54 the last time DLF did ADP.
Wow.
54. Below Rondale. Below Shark. Below Jahan Dotson. David Bell. Below David Bell. Below George Pickens. Below Adam Thielen. He got paid. And if you think about that, Doug Peterson's going to chuck the ball. He's the number one target. He's going to get him the ball. And the one thing Doug can do is scheme to get some wide receivers open. I know this because I had to watch that shit show in Philly. And the only way that they got Greg Ward open was fucking scheme. When I see Greg Ward have like 3 yards of separation on somebody making catches and meaningful games, you're just like, how did that just happen? It's Greg Ward. Greg Ward, if you're listening to the show, you're a great guy. Maybe not listening to the show, but you get my point. So that's going to be the best slot receiver he's had. And the other thing is, we saw Nelson Aguilar. You know, his best season was when he was running out of the slot there, and he had a really good fantasy year. So Christian Kirk, I would say, is better than Nelson Aguilar. He's the wide receiver one there, man. Come on, I'm going to buy him up, especially because he's not going to cost a lot to acquire.
Yeah, I agree, and especially, we could have mentioned Trevor Lawrence in the quarterback discussion as well, but, you know, with as much hype as Lawrence had for as long as he had it. And then the come in and just completely fall on his face, which, you know, you could chalk that up to a bunch of different reasons, but
he got I think that,
yeah. I mean, it was just not a great year all around for that entire team and the weapons they had and everything else. And then ETN getting injured and whatnot. So I'm with you on Christian Kirk. I think he is someone who you could buy it. What, wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 prices.
Yeah, and you should be able to.
It's weird because going from Kyler in a what should have been a better situation to what is potentially a worse situation. But I do like the outlook for Christian Kirk, so I'm with you there. So with Juju and Marquez Valdes-Scantling landing in KC, I think we're both expecting the Chiefs to use one of their first round picks on a wide receiver, and I'm not going to be surprised at all whenever they add more in the draft as well. Are you interested in buying either one of those guys right now before the draft? Is that something you think you would rather do after the draft? What do you think about, you know, Juju and MVS in this Kansas City offense?
I'm going to stay away from it probably and wait and see what they wind up picking. Especially with Juju, he's just not cost attainable for me based on what his value, what might wind up being. So I'm not really sure how much I can lay down on Juju. His contract situation is really, really, really incentive based, which is an interesting way to do it. And the other thing that I saw that was interesting was they were talking about they knew that they were probably going to trade Tyreek for about a week. And then they signed Juju in that time frame where the Chiefs knew that they basically weren't going to sign him. I wonder if Juju had any idea or if the Chiefs are just like, yeah, fuck off. And they gave him, because Juju held so much more leverage. If look at the contract MVS got.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of the crazy part. So I wonder if Juju kind of feels like he got screwed out of some money there, but I'm probably not going to buy him because it's going to be cost prohibitive to get Juju, and MVS I don't believe in at all.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see MVS get that kind of money, but I don't know what the guarantee was, so I don't know if this is like a Christian Kirk type of situation where just like, oh my God, you see how much he got paid, and then you get the guaranteed details come out, and you're just like, oh, all right, well, that's not nearly as bad as what I thought. But another team that I would think would be doing a lot in the draft, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, is the Browns with Amari Cooper. Now, whenever Baker was the quarterback, everybody was dumping on Amari, right? Like, oh my God, he's dead. I want nothing to do with him. How much have your thoughts changed, or I guess if they've changed at all, with Amari now that Watson is going to be the quarterback for 8 games, 10 games, you know what I mean, whatever it ends up being in 2022? Is he someone who... Has the buying window passed? Because obviously with them trading some of those picks, that's another team that's not going to be able to load up and be able to do much, you know, in terms of like really changing that wide receiver group year one. But I guess just your thoughts on Cooper, and then we can start talking about a couple of these other guys.
Well, it's a lot better than it was with Baker, I'll tell you that. However, I talked about the volume earlier on. I don't know how he's going to do with the volume. He's not A.J. Brown as far as talent goes, where he can, you know, be a top 8 wide receiver on, you know, 8 targets five a game. Yeah, for 5 targets a game. Jesus Christ. He's like, wow. So your buying window probably has passed a little bit there, and I don't think he's going to be worth the cost it is to acquire him, so I'm going to stay away from Amari.
Yeah, I'm really curious what that price is to get him. I mean, I don't even have, like, if I were going after Cooper, I'm really not sure where I would start, just like in a vacuum without looking at the other team and what their needs are and how they're constructed. Like he's one of these guys where I just like, where do you even start with Cooper?
Well, draft picks. Are you trading the 10 pick away in a super flex league for him?
I don't think.
12?
Can you ask me this after the draft happens? I don't know, man. Rewind the clock back 12 months, and that's an automatic for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. If I'd be curious to hear if you're listening to this, hit us up on Twitter at @FF_authority and let us know if you've made a Cooper trade or if you've tried to get Cooper. I just want to get an idea of like where people are with him, because he's one that I honestly have no idea what to do with. But a couple of these other guys, obviously, having me on here, we can't go another minute without me talking about Allen Robinson and just how damn happy I am for this guy, man. Finally landing one on a good team. Let's just start there. Let's just start with he's on a good team. And then let's talk about the quarterback he has. And then let's talk about the offensive system that he's in. And then the little cherry on top here is Robert Woods being shipped out of town. Like it is all lining up for Allen Robinson to have a massive, massive bounce back year. And as much as like the dynasty community wants to talk about like, oh man, we don't care what happens year to year, this is the long game. You see shit happen on a week to week basis with dynasty football in terms of value changes. So I am not entirely sure how much, obviously the price from end of 2021 A-Rob until now has changed, right? But I don't think it's going to be at a point where if you're a contender and you're looking for a, let's just say wide receiver three kind of play, that I don't think he's unattainable for that kind of spot on your dynasty roster.
No, if you think about it, we were talking about Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods both being able to be wide receiver ones. You know what I mean? Both being top 12 wide receivers. And before Robert Woods' injury, he was a wide receiver one. So you know that offense can support two top 12 wide receivers. And Allen Robinson is a stud and is the best quarterback he's ever played with. And he does not cost that kind of, capital in there. Now he costs a lot more than he did a month ago, but, let's go, A-Rob. Yeah.
I'm so excited as a Penn State alum. I'm genuinely like makes my heart happy.
Warm.
All warm and fuzzy. And I don't think it's the fact that I'm on my second pounder of IPA. I think that might help a little bit, but I think it's a lot of this A-Rob talk that's making it making me feel a little bit more that way. But is there anybody else here at the wide receiver position you want to talk about? Obviously, Alan Lazard, like, he's interesting, even though he's basically the wide receiver one for Green Bay right now. I still think he is super cheap if you want to go out and try and snag him. I think Green Bay obviously has to do something else, and now the fact they have the two first round picks, it's going to be interesting to see how they approach the draft, but I still think at worst he's going to be the wide receiver two. So I think that's a name that you could go out if you're looking for somebody on the cheap. Russell Gage, like I said, I think is really, really interesting as the wide receiver three there, kind of crushes any Tyler Johnson love, I don't know where you were sitting with Tyler Johnson, Tom, but that's someone who I really liked and was still rocking with even through all the craziness and the fall that he had in dynasty circles. But I think Russell Gage is really interesting, especially with Chris Godwin having that late season knee injury as well. Like, he's going to be the wide receiver two there probably for a couple weeks. I don't know how quickly Godwin's going to be back, but, you know, Gallup, Mike Williams, you know, DJ Chark, any of these other guys you want to talk about?
No, I mean, obviously Amari leaving helps Gallup a ton. They basically chose Gallup and Schultz over Amari. Which is interesting. So that shows you, you know, where they're leaning there. Mike Williams staying is good. And, you know, Shark going to the Lions is whatever.
Were you, I don't know this, were you an Amonra guy at all?
Not really. Still not.
Did even with you not being an Amonra St. Brown guy, did Chark going there, like, change anything for you with Amonra? Like, did you bump him down in terms of value at all?
No, not really. I mean, it's tough to gauge those wide receivers there, you know, with Jared Goff. And if Chark moves your needle down for Amonra, then were you really an Amonra guy?
Obviously, I'm a little biased because I was an Amonra guy, but I'm on the same page as you, except I just have a little bit of a rosier view on Amonra in the sense that, like, DJ Chark shouldn't have changed.
No, it shouldn't.
So, fair. And then I will just say, you mentioned that Mike Williams staying with the Chargers is a good thing. He would be a sell for me, just because if you have someone in your league who, obviously the time to trade him would have been after what, the first, like, 4 or 5 weeks where he was averaging 170 yards and what seemed like 3 touchdowns every single game. That would have been the time to get out on him if you weren't a Mike Williams believer. But if you're going to have someone in your league who is kind of like, who thinks he can at least be closer to what he was last year than he was, what, the first 4 years of his career, he's someone who I would look to move, because I'm not sold on Mike Williams after the little stint that he had. Even though I love Justin Herbert, I think Herbert's a stud, and obviously a lot of other people do as well, but I'm not sold on Mike Williams being able to replicate even on, like, a per game basis, because obviously he had a lot of valleys as well to go with those peaks. Even on, like, an average, like, per game basis, I'm not sold on him.
So, who'd you rather have, Gallup or Mike Williams?
Gallup.
What's the difference?
I think Gallup is good at football.
Oh, Jesus. You're stealing my answers, man.
It is a very apt answer at this point in time. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think we saw, like I said, what, 4 or 5 years of Mike Williams being just, and obviously he didn't have Justin Herbert that entire time, and the offense was different, that sort of thing. But I don't know, man. I'm just not sold. I don't think all of a sudden that's the only thing he needed, right? And it's not like, you know, Philip Rivers at the point where Mike Williams came into play is not the same as Justin Herbert, right? But it's not like we're talking about, you know, some dog shit quarterback there either.
Yeah, but it was rough because at that point in Rivers' career, he couldn't throw the ball deep, and, you know, that's kind of – Williams excels at the deep ball, the jump ball, the, you know. So it's tough for me. And you're talking – I traded Mike Williams for Gallup in a second, so I'm kind of with you. So you love that trade, but – It's really tough, man, because if he stays healthy, then that offense is going to hum. But that's the whole thing. If he stays healthy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I think it's probably another team that would like to do something in the draft with their wide receiver group as well, right? Like, I know a lot of people like Josh Palmer. He obviously did well whenever he was given the opportunity when one of those guys was injured or COVID or not playing, right? But outside of that, then you have Jalen Guyton, after that. Like, I think that's a team that would probably like to do something in the draft as well. And then, you know, potentially a tight end too. But anyway, that's a team that's loaded up on defense. And now I'm really, really interested to see what they do on the offensive side of the ball with the draft. But tight end, you know, like, it seemed like it was going to be a crazy year for tight end. We had all these guys that were going to go places. Then we got a bunch of tags. You already talked about Njoku got the tag. Gesicki got the tag as well. Obviously, Fant was traded to the Seattle as part of that Russ deal. Seattle went out and did Seattle things and then also signed Will Disley after the Noah Fant trade. Obviously, we have Albert O as the last man standing in Denver. And then somewhat similarly, we had Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzomah both go to the Jets. And then we had Evan Engram go to Jacksonville. And then the one that's sneaky here that I'll just throw out here, and then I'll let you give your thoughts on tight ends, and we'll wrap up here because I don't think either of us has a lot to say with this group. But Ricky Seals-Jones going to the Giants. I think it's semi-sneaky, more so for redraft purposes. But with Evan Engram gone, Kyle Rudolph gone, they have a wide receiver group that can't stay healthy. We saw Ricky Seals-Jones on a bad Washington offense be able to give us tight end one numbers. And not that that's a high bar by any means, but I think maybe if you're like in a tight end premium league, or if you're someone who just kind of like streams and you don't want to deal with like paying a lot, Ricky Seals-Jones, I think, could be like somewhat sneaky with Dable coming in there. I think he could be a very cheap, like he might be on the waiver wire in some dynasty leagues, especially since he was hurt at the end of the season. And then depending on what like your league's, you know, IR and taxi situation is while you're in off season, if you have to move everyone up to the active roster. But he could be someone who's super cheap that might give you like 9 points a game, you know what I mean? Something like that in that general range. And at tight end, you're talking about literally a tight end one if they're averaging 9 points per game. So I think he's somewhat sneaky. But Tom, finish us out. Just any general thoughts on this tight end class?
Ugh. Oh man, I hate these tight ends.
Well, that says it all, guys.
Well, yeah, right. So two things. I hate Evan Engram. I hate him. But if he can stay healthy and on the field in a Doug Peterson offense that runs 12 personnel close to 50% of the time, like he might be top 12 just based on volume. That's disgusting. Those are all the words I can say about Evan Engram. Intriguing. Gesicki. I hate myself for it, but when they go out and they get Tyreek and they have Waddle, they can both run in the slot. It's obviously going to like eat into his numbers. Tyreek's awesome in the red zone. So I'm assuming Gesicki doesn't all of a sudden just jump up to 8 touchdowns next year, because that's what he's going to have to do in order to probably be a top 8 to 10 tight end. So, I mean, I'd attach a pick to him, try and upgrade to a guy like Dallas Goedert. If I could, I'd absolutely consider doing a mid to late second round pick on top of Gesicki. I know that's a bit rich, but just to see if you can get Dallas Goedert, see if you can get a fourth back, a third back, whatever makes you feel comfortable. But that's what I feel like that gap is between Gesicki and Goedert now, who I have as my tight end 5, I think.
I think it's also going to be really interesting to see how McDaniel uses Gesicki. Like, if he's trying to replicate that San Fran type of system, that's not going to be good news for Gesicki. He is not a good blocking tight end. Mm-hmm. That's not what he is. And then obviously you look at, you know, where he came from with Kittle. Kittle's a monster when it comes to blocking. Like, he's not like, you know, he's all right, but he's also a move tight end. Kittle's a stud across the board. He can literally do – he's a maniac with blocking. Gesicki is not that. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how he is used in that system and in that offense. And like you said, and then you add on Tyreek Hill being out of the fold. So it's he might be someone who you might want to look to trade away.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I love Gesicki.
Hey, Penn State, tight end, yeah. You.
Mm-hmm.
Me as well. All right, we appreciate all of you rocking with us while you're listening to this in the evening, morning, lunchtime, taking a deuce. I don't know. However you're listening, we don't mind. Hit us with a sub if you're not yet subscribed. Give us a rate and review over on the podcast as well. It really helps us grow without you telling people what your secret is, where you're getting all this wonderful entertainment and this wonderful information. We appreciate all you guys. Keep locked in here, and we'll be back with more TFA Dino Show. A man come, they bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tongue is done, we'll take our leave and go. Someday the one man come, they bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tongue is done, we'll take our leave and go. She had not been 2 weeks from shore when down under a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take that whale in tow. Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.